We'll start reading in verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. All this is in Jesus Christ's sake. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. In the following, we come to you this morning, just thank you and praise you for this beautiful day you've given us. Thank you, Father, for loving us, Lord, and bringing each person here out, Lord. I pray that you bless each one today, Lord. I pray that you be with each one, Lord, the problems and anything going on, Lord, in our everyday lives. Lord, I pray that you'd open up your book to us, Lord, and show us great and mighty things out of your law. And I pray, God, that you'd be with hearts here today, Lord. I pray that you keep them soft, Lord, and keep them, Father, to the place where they receive your word with meekness and grace. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Ghost of God fill me, Lord, in such a way I preach exactly what you have me to say, Lord, and guard my lips, having something not to say anything, Lord, that's contrary to your word, Lord. I pray that you open your book up to us and give us something, Lord, that we can live by and stand by and serve thee better, Lord, and be a better witness for thee, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just be with each one here, Lord, and help us to, because of this day and this message, Lord, you help us to be better witnesses and serve you better this coming week. And we thank you and praise you for the privilege we have gathering together and worshiping thee in spirit and truth. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And there's some things in verse 30 here that we need as Christians, every one of us. Every one of us need these things. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And I'm going to try to go through these things this morning and try to get some things to help us to see what we have and what we need to live a better Christian life and to serve our Lord better. There's a little girl down in Pensacola, Edie Theros, and she'd go to the grocery store, you know, with her mother, and she'd say, Mama, I want this. And she'd say, I want that toy, and I want that toy, and I want this or that, you know. And so her mother sat down to her and said, listen, honey, the Bible says that my God should supply all your need, not your wants. So next time she went to the store, she said, Mama, I need that toy over there. I need it. That's the way we are. That's the way people are. So our needs are, you know, usually different from what our wants. And God says give us our needs, not our greeds. And so that's what we have to remember. If you need a revival, and we sure need one, God got to give it to you. If you'll take it, see. You got he ain't overstep your will. Saved or lost, he's not going to overstep your will. So if you need a revival, God will give. If you need to pay bills, God got to give you the money to pay them. If you need to be healed, God will heal you. If you need to be sick, you're not going to get healed. See? If you need to be humble, God's going to heal you. I mean, God's going to humble you. If you need comfort and encouragement, Lord will give you that. If you need to go on to be with the Lord, then you'll drop dead and go on to be with him. See? God's going to supply your need. Now, people nowadays think God's a great big Santa Claus sitting up there, and he's willing to give everybody whatever they want, you know, no matter what it is. You just ask, and the Lord's going to give it to him. It's not like that. He's not a bellboy, and he's not a Santa Claus. He'll give you your need according to the Word of God. And if you want something in there that's contrary to the Word of God, you can want all you want to, and it's not going to do you any good, see?
God got to give you what you need. That's what he's going to give you. Now, most of the time, we want money or something that's carnal instead of the spiritual thing, see. And Bible says over here, and it's because so the flesh can glory. Look at verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. The flesh, that's what stops God from helping anybody. God wants to do things for you and help you, and he wants you to serve him. But even when you're serving him, you get to the place where you want your flesh sticking out there, see? And God don't, he ain't interested in that at all. The only thing you're supposed to do is glory in the Lord, verse 31. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The flesh is no good. It's dead. You're supposed to, the Bible says over in Romans, to render it dead, Romans chapter 6. No good. Kill it. It's no good. The Spirit giveth life, see? So that's what you got to stay on. Okay. Now, the first need here is verse 30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. So that's the first thing that we need, wisdom. I'm taking it for granted everybody here is saved. If you're not saved here, it's the first thing you need, salvation. But I'm taking it for granted everybody's saved in here. I believe we are. So the first thing you need is wisdom. And, of course, Paul here is talking to Christians here in 1 Corinthians, to the Corinthian church. Now, the first need is wisdom. There's a proverb. It's not a Bible proverb, but it's a Arab proverb, I think. It says that he that knows not and knows not that he knows not, he's a fool. Shun him. He that knows not and knows that he knows not, he's simple. Teach him. Now, he's not mean. When he says simple like that, he's not talking about he's stupid. He's talking about he's willing, you know. He that knows and knows not that he knows, he's asleep. Wake him up. And he that knows and knows that he knows, he's wise. Follow him. And that's the reason I went to school where I went, because I knew that he knew what he was doing, and he knew that book, and that's what I wanted. And he lived close to the Lord, and I knew that that's the reason I went. I followed him, see? I still follow him. Paul said, be you followers of me, as I'm also of Christ. So it doesn't matter following a man, you know, as long as he's following Christ, as long as he's right on the book and right on the things in the book. Okay? Here's a little poem here. It says, a wise old owl sat down in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Let's try to imitate that little bird. So, if you'll, usually, you know, I've always been a real quiet person, and I don't run my mouth a whole lot, you know, in conversations, things like that. But usually, if I sit down, you know, to a group of people and somebody's talking, if you ain't running your mouth, then you can learn something. Now, if you run your mouth, all you're going to hear is your mouth, see? So, you're not going to learn anything. You need to learn what's going on around you, see? So, there's a lot of truth in that little thing. Here's another one. There was a young lady from Niger who smiled as she rode on a tiger. They came back from the ride with the lady inside, and the smile was on the face of the tiger. I found that, so I thought you might like it. Wisdom. We need wisdom. All right, why do we need wisdom? We need wisdom, first of all, because we're ignorant. See, we need wisdom because we're ignorant. Look at verse 24 and 25. In that same chapter. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You know who's the wisdom of God? Jesus Christ. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than the men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. We're no good. We're weak and foolish, and we can't understand anything without Jesus Christ. Now all these philosophers and this bunch of so-called Sidney Harris talking about the Bible, you know. That dummy, he tries to be a philosopher. He's got a little column he writes in the Shaw Observer all the time, you know. And I read it several times. He's always making fun of Bible preachers, you know, and Bible, anybody that believes the Bible, he always makes fun of them. Well, he's a reprobate, what his trouble is. He's on his way to hell, and he's trying to take as many people as he can with him. But he's an example of some of these philosophers. They always try to make you think that they're smart, see, and you're dumb. When what the real thing is, we're dumb, but this right here is where the smarts are. If you want wisdom, it's in this book right here. It's not in Plato and Aristotle and Anaximander and Anaximenes and all that bunch of Greek philosophers that all these colleges promote and talk about now. It's not in them. It's in this book. If you want wisdom, read Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. They give you wisdom. Now, it takes the foolishness of the preaching that says to save them which are lost, and not education. You can be the smartest fella in the world and have education, be able to express yourself. A whole lot. Well, you can't. Anybody can express themselves better than me usually, but anybody that's able to express themselves and put out a sentence where you can con somebody into something, that's no good. A lot of times you can talk people into salvation, or talk to them in a way that, wouldn't you really like to be saved? Now, why don't you just receive Jesus Christ right now? You know, no sin, see? Don't tell them nothing about sin, about the only way to hell, that the real hell is going to. Those people are not getting saved. If that's what they call new evangelicalism. That's not salvation. Salvation is seeing yourself lost and on your way to hell, and then you know where you're going to be saved from, see? But all you're doing, when you're telling people about Jesus Christ, if you just psychologically, or if you're just up there and talking to them in a way that convincing them they need to accept Christ into your life. You hear that all the time. Christ is already in everybody's life. I don't mean nothing, see? That's not, Christ can be the devil too. Christ means anointed. The devil is the anointed cherub that covers. That don't mean nothing, see? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the death, burial, and resurrection, that's what we're supposed to get saved at, right there at the cross, see? So you can convince people to receive another Jesus, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and receive another spirit, see? 2 Corinthians 12. You can convince them to do that. And whenever they do, then they ain't working this instant. Matter of fact, whenever they do that, they get to the place where they don't know whether they're saved or lost. And then they can't get saved after that because they think they got something else. And so it messes people up. Now, for a definition of wisdom, turn to Job 28. Bible definition. Job 28. Job 28 and verse 28. Now, that's what we do here. We take the Bible and try to let the Bible explain the Bible. I mean, you can sit down, you look up the dictionary and get some kind of what the dictionary, what man comes up with what wisdom is or anything. It didn't mean nothing. It you just might as well be listening to some guru over there somewhere, you know, to do that. What you got to do is let the Bible explain the Bible. Job 28:28. And he said, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now that's the definition of wisdom and understanding. Now you got knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The devil has knowledge. I mean, he's a lot smarter than any of you, or me either one, or anybody else I know. You got wisdom. The devil has wisdom. He's wise. He was right next to God up there. He was over the throne, see, of God. All right, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. But you got to have understanding. That's what the devil hadn't got. Knowledge is what a man knows. Wisdom is what he can do with his knowledge. And understanding is knowing its relationship to God. See, you got to have an understanding to get the relationship between knowledge and wisdom to the Lord. The devil can't do that. That's where we got it on the devil. If you say it, you got it. See, that's the reason Harris can't understand nothing. He don't know. He might be wise as far as what the world thinks wisdom is, but he's got no understanding, because he don't know his relationship between to God. See, that's the reason he can't understand the Bible. He said something out in that little, I wish I cut it out and read it to you. He said something out in that Bible, said you can't, you know, people don't know how to read the Bible. You know, what it means, what he's saying is, lost people get the Bible, and they'll read through it, and they'll take it according to their own noggin, you know. And instead, the Bible says, natural man receives not the things of God, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, you take the Bible, and you can read what it says here, and you can make it, well, just like that thing in Sunday school this morning about Jesus baptized not, but his disciples. Well, people sit down and read that, and they say, well, he didn't, you know, you can twist that around. You can twist any verse around any way you want to, just about. And he'll say, well, his disciple, he baptized his disciples, see. I mean, that's just an illustration there. But, wisdom is like I said, wisdom, knowledge is what a man knows. Wisdom is what he can do with his knowledge, and understanding is knowing his relationship to God. Now, this is another little illustration here that's along the same lines is this what I just got through saying. Knowledge can be memorized. You can sit down, you can memorize things in books. Wisdom must think things through, which is a true thing. And wisdom is something that enables us to use knowledge rightly. And wisdom resists group pressures, thinks on itself, and is reconciled to the use of its own judgment, which is a half-truth, because you still got to have that relationship to God, got to have that understanding for doing good. This is a quote from a book here that I just used, which is most of it was right. Now, turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Get that in one hand. And James chapter 1 and other. James 1. Now, we know James was written, verse 1 to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. But all scripture is given by inspiration and profit for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. So you can take, and some things in the Bible, no matter where it is in the Bible, it's a general truth. And that's what this verse 5 is. This is a general truth to everybody, not necessarily to Jews in tribulation or anything like that. It's a general truth. If James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That's a general promise. He gives you that. All right, turn back over to Proverbs chapter 2 now. If you want wisdom, you ask God for it. And then, verse 6, 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So, you want wisdom, ask him for it. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom. But what you're going to do, you got to get out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You got to have that to go with it. Well, how you get that? You know what? God breathed inspiration, inspired, exhale, inspiration. You know what that is? That's coming out of your mouth. Every time, what's coming out of my mouth is three things. It's either the devil. If I say something that's wrong, then the devil has me saying it. See, if I say something that's to build myself up, that's flesh. That's the spirit of man. That's either the spirit of the devil, spirit of man, or if I say something that's right according to the word of God, that's the spirit of God. So three things come out of your mouth, every one of you. No matter where you're at, what you're saying, those three things, spirits, come out of your mouth all the time. That's what inspiration is. See? Now, so what come out of his mouth? All scripture is given inspiration. This book right here, see? This is where you get the the understanding and the knowledge right here. And God give you the wisdom, if you ask Him, to know the difference and to be a, get his relationship to God, see? So, and that's what it is. That's what you got to have. Turn back to 2 Corinthians now. 1 Corinthians, excuse me. 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness. That's the second thing. The second need is righteousness. We need righteousness because we're unrighteous. Righteousness. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You can't tell people that, though. People are self-righteous. Everybody's self-righteous. Whether they're religious or well, everybody's religious in some way or another. I was working down in Georgetown, and this guy named Joe Stayer, and he was a Roman Catholic. And I witnessed to him, started talking to him, you know, and I said, I asked him if he was saved. He said, oh, I'm a good Christian. You know, when somebody says that, I think the Bible says none good, no, not one. You know, that goes to anybody. But he said, I'm a good Christian, and I'm satisfied with my church. I said, what about Jesus in the Bible? I said, what about this book here that says, you know, there's none righteous, no, not one. He said, well, that was just written by man, you know. I said, no, it wasn't. I argued about that a while and kept on. I said, you know what your trouble is? I said, you're self-righteous. You think you're pitting your righteousness against God's righteousness. And he said, he got mad. And I mean, you know, if you can't, I try to be nice, you know, at the beginning and try to use a little tact and everything. But after a while, you just get tired of these people, you know, thinking they're something and God's not. God's the one that's got the righteousness, not us. See, and you just get aggravated after a while, you know. You have to tell him. And anyway, I told him one day. I said, when I told him, I took him over to that verse in the Romans. We'll get to it in a minute. But anyway, I said, I bet you'd like to burn me at the stake, wouldn't you? He said, what do you mean? I said, all those Catholics all back in the 16th, 17th century, you know, and some even all up in the 18th century, burning Christians at the stake, you know. I said, Protestants at the stake. I said, I bet you'd like to burn me at the stake, would you? Because he said, I sure would. You know? That's granddaddy. I'll tell you right now, the Pope might be going around doing this. Peace, love, hope, world, everybody's wonderful, you know. But when the time comes, he'll burn you at the stake just soon to look at you. The Catholic Church has not changed one bit, and it never will. That's the horror of Revelation chapter 14, or wherever it is, over in Revelation. But Bible says every man in his best state is altogether vanity. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. All we that sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Says every man will proclaim his goodness, but a faithful man, but who can find? And it says there's a generation that is pure in their own eyes, and yet are not washed from their filthiness. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21 and Romans chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 5:21 and Romans chapter 10. See, we're unrighteous, and there's nothing we can do in our own flesh that'll help us one bit. We're sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him, talking about Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Your righteousness is not anything you can do at all. It's in Jesus Christ and that all, and that only. Now, over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, Romans 10, verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is in the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I don't care what you do, how good a fellow you are, how much you give to the United Way and all this junk going on now, I wouldn't give a penny to none of it. It wouldn't matter how much you give to any of that, and help the poor people. I was talking, witnessing this fellow, we were arguing about the Southern Baptist, you know. And I was telling him about that, and he was arguing about that, and he got mad. But I was telling him about the Southern Baptist, how they're connected, they're in apostasy right now, and how much the money that goes through there is going over to Ethiopia and killing niggers over there, and they busted them in the churches over here, see. Listen, it's hypocritical. They take money connected with the National Council of Church, World Council of Churches, when it buy their literature and all that stuff. But he said, they're good people. Sure, they're good people as far as people's concerned. You know, but that don't mean nothing. He's going to have to stand in judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what he's done in his body and what he's done with his money, too. He's putting his money in there. And he come all this stuff about, well, there's a home over yonder in such and such a place, you know, that orphan home, which, you know, praise the Lord that they have an orphan home over there. But I ain't giving my money to it because it's connected with apostasy. And I'm going to have to give an account for what I do with my money. And I just can't see that. I don't know. They're just blinded by the devil or something. And whom the God of this world has blinded. Of course, he's not lost. I believe he's saved. He said, give me a testimony of being saved. I don't know. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. But all I can do is, if a man gives me, I can't judge whether he's saved or lost. If he tells me he's saved and gives me a testimony, I judge things in his life, though. According to the Word of God, he is spiritual judges all things, over in 1 Corinthians. So all this stuff, you know, about these good people. The Masons, they got a burn hospital over there, see? I don't mean nothing. They going to hell. That's a religion just like anything else, and it's a devil's religion. I know, I was in it, see? There's a little girl one time wanted to buy her mother a present, and she wanted to buy her mother a present, so she went to the store manager over there. She seen something over there. She went to the store manager, and she'd been listening to all this installment plan. You know, you can buy such and such. They had big signs. You know, you can buy such and such on the installment plan. Well, this little girl, she went up to the manager of the store, you know, and she talked to him. And she said, I want to know if you can pay the whole amount, you know. She didn't understand her. She wanted to pay the whole amount. She had enough money to buy the little present for her mother, but she wanted to pay the whole amount. You know what that's a picture of? We can't self-righteously build and build and build and build and get better and better and expect the Lord to save us one day. You get the whole amount when you get it at Calvary. That's where it is right there. When you get saved, you get it. That's it. You don't get saved and then 2 years later, you know, if you've done real good, you get on a little higher level of salvation. No, you might grow spiritually, but how you grow? A newborn babe desired the sincere milk of the Word. It's all in this book. See, this book's been available anywhere. Anybody can pick it up for the last 300 years. And more and more, in this King James Bible right here, more and more in the last 250 years, but people read it less and less. Wonder why? The devil's got too much other stuff for him. All right, turn back to 1 Corinthians now. That's righteousness. The next thing, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. Sanctification is the next thing. Sanctification, you need sanctification because we're defiled. See? You know what sanctification is? It comes in three stages or three ways. Sanctification. Number one, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Sanctified in the past. That's the first thing. It's a past work of Jesus Christ. And you get that work whenever you get saved. Hebrews 10, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's it. I mean, you don't every Sunday morning, you don't sit him down there and take a little wafer that some Roman Catholic priest picks out of the thing and sticks in your mouth. That's not. It's one time it happens. Just like when you receive Jesus Christ, that's it. You're sanctified. That's your standing with God. It's His righteousness. That's the sanctification right there. All right? The biblical meaning of sanctification is being set apart for God, by God, for God, from sin, and for a holy life. Turn to Psalms chapter 4. Set apart. 4 verse 3. Psalms 4 verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will heal when I call to him. Alright, now, I know that's Old Testament and that's in the Psalm. Like I said, they you can get application anywhere. Now, over in 2 Timothy, Second Timothy 2:21. Now, this is just showing you that I know this is connected with after a person is saved here, but this is showing you what sanctification is. It's been set apart. It's a biblical meaning. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel and an honor, sanctified, and meet for the. See, if you purge, you sanctified, you. If you, it says here, you purge yourself from these, he'll set you apart over here. You understand what I'm saying? So it's you being set apart for God. And the context of that is verse 19. Here, everyone that nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. So a Christian, I mean, God don't. See, like I said, God don't make you depart from iniquity. You're supposed to do it. That don't keep you saved. It don't make you saved. But you're supposed to depart from it. If you're going to serve Him, you're going to have to do that. He don't make you give up drinking. He don't make you, but you ought to want to. Look what He done for you. Why don't you? I don't say any of you drinking nothing, but I'm saying I'm giving that as an illustration. Now. And that's past sanctification. Past sanctification is when you receive Jesus Christ, you are set apart, and your standing with God is His righteousness on you. When God looks down at me, He don't see my sin. Right now, Paul said, that which I want to do, I don't do. See? You think there ain't no such thing as sanctification as far as sometime in a man's life, you know, he gets to a place where he's perfect and sinless. If you find anybody, let me follow him around a while. I guarantee you, I'll find some things. See, the problem is their level of what they call sin is different from what the Bible level is. You know, they think if they don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss, and of course a lot of them might do that, but don't, because they'll say bless God this and bless God that. The preachers get up there and say bless God such and such. Well, they're not blessing God. You know what they're doing? They're taking God's name in vain when you say that, and you don't mean it, that you're blessed the Lord. If you say it like that, then that's alright. But if it's just a byword that you say, oh Lordy, you know, stuff like that, what it is, sin. See, Now, their level is they don't count that as sin. It don't matter whether they count it like that or not. It's what God says, see? All right? Now, the next thing about sanctification is present sanctification. So I got past sanctification, got present sanctification. John 17:17 says, sanctify them. Well, turn to it. It's better to look, to read it than quote it. It's nothing like picking up your Bible and opening it up and looking at what it says. I mean, I've done this too many times. I let somebody quote a verse and I didn't turn to it and look at it, and they might change it just a little bit. So you got to be careful about that. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So how are you sanctified? This is present sanctification. You're sanctified by the word of God. This word reproves you, corrects you, instructs you in the righteousness. Remember what it says over in the Timothy? So that's the way you're sanctified today. Now, there's a catch to that. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. This is the catch to that. Now, you can be sanctified through the word, and you know that the word is true, but it's not going to do you any good if you don't believe it. Look here. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. See, all that's a small W-O-R-D. There's no capital W-O-R-D to it. The small W-O-R-D is the written words of God right here in a preserved perfect book. Now, a capital W-O-R-D can be a message or anything else. But this is a small W-O-R-D. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you to believe. Now, if you don't believe it, it ain't going to work on you. You have to believe it, see, for it to work in you. Now, when you get up, when you start reading your Bible, and you see a verse in there that cuts you up, or you shows your sin somehow or another, and you believe it's the Word of God, you ought to do something about it if you believe it. You had light. Light rejected becomes lightning, like I said. That's light. So, the next thing, while you're in 1 Thessalonians, turn to 5:23. I didn't turn back. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. All right? This is the future sanctification, is your everything. Now, you got a body and a soul and a spirit. When you die, your body goes to the grave. Your spirit and soul goes to be with the Lord if you're saved. All right? Now, you're not sanctified wholly until the rapture. When the rapture takes place, the Lord comes back and gets you, and you're sanctified wholly. And when you're sanctified wholly, then you'll be sinless, see? Because you'll be just like Jesus Christ. First John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You'll be just like Jesus Christ. Another place says you'll be conformed to the image of his son. So we're going to be just like Jesus Christ, and that's when you'll be completely sanctified. Until then, you're a dirty, rotten sinner just like everybody else. The only difference, you're a saved sinner. And people don't like that, but that's the way it is. I can't help it. All right, that's the three tenses of salvation. Now, there's three things here pertaining to sin. When you're saved at that moment, you're saved from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is hell, burning forever in a lake of fire. Daily, as you read the Word of God and believe it and try to live by it, you're being saved from the power of sin. As you try to live, sin won't have any power over you. As long as you stay in this book and read and try to serve the Lord, the Bible says, if we walk in the light, as He in the light, as He is the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. See? So, I sanctify daily there. Now, then at the rapture, you'll be saved from the presence of sin. Boy, what a day that'd be. Now, people mess these things up, you know, they get in all kind of trouble. They don't believe in the tribulation. They don't believe in the millennium. They don't rightly divide the words, you know. But you got to rightly divide it, or you're going to have problems with it. Okay, the last thing is redemption. Why do you need redemption? Because we're in bondage to the devil. Before we're saved, we need to be redeemed. We're in bondage to the devil. Children of Israel was in bondage to Pharaoh. Whatever Pharaoh told them to do, that's what they had to do. Before you were saved, whatever the devil told you to do, you done it. If you say go down there and get drunk, you went down and get drunk. If you go down there and fornicate, you went over and fornicated with somebody. See, whatever the devil wanted you to do, you did it. See, just like that. He was leading you around like a little puppy dog. Now, you know who you're supposed to be leading you around now, don't you? Jesus Christ. You know how you got bought? You got bought by turn to 1 Peter 1:18. We're about through. 1 Peter 1:18. We'll quit here. Redemption. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You redeemed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. That's the reason whenever a Bible takes that in Colossians 1:14, what people quoted a while ago, in whom we have redemption through His blood, when you take out those three verses, those three words right there, you've got a devil's Bible. Because that's how you're redeemed. Through His blood, see? If you don't have that blood applied, you're not redeemed. Okay, let's all bow our heads for just a minute. I don't know whether we'll sing or not. Let's only everybody bow our heads just a minute. And I want you to think about these things. Redemption, sanctification, righteousness, and wisdom. But God says we need them. And He'll give them to you if you're willing to take them. Special redemption. There's a little boy one time had a boat. And he carved it out of wood. And he made that boat, you know, just as pretty as he could. And he made it all himself. And he put sails on it and he played with it. Played with it every day. And then one day he got callous and left it alone, and it just sailed off on down the creek, you know. Boy, he missed that little boat. And, you know, he cried because he lost it and everything. But then one day he was in town, they went to town, and he went to town and he saw that little boat in a pawn shop in the town he lived. And he went in and asked that man how much it was. The fellow says $10. That's all he had saved up, everything he had. So he went ahead. It didn't matter. No matter what he had, he was going to get it back because he loved it. And so he went back and got his money and went back there and bought it. And bought it back. And that's what happened to us. Jesus Christ loved us, past tense, enough to die for us on the cross. God gave everything He had in His only begotten Son to get us back. We got away in sin. For as one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all of sin. But He bought us back, and He saved us. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You we can go to it and get the edification. And thank You, Father, when we say ourselves, Lord, how we really are, Lord, and how it's all in Thee, Lord. And if it's not in Thee, Lord, we Well, for you, it would be nothing, Lord. It has to be through your word, Lord. And I pray, Father, now that you bless this message, I pray, Father, to every heart, Lord, here's got something from me today to help them to live for you and to serve you and to be a better witness for you. And I pray that you bless each one that came today and just direct them, Father, this week and help them, Lord, to live a closer, holy life, Lord, for thee. And we thank you and praise you for everything you've done for us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we're going to have just a dismissal song this morning. And I'm going to have anybody, we're not going to sing an invitation or anything. But turn to 404. And this, since we got all this thing we need to do this week, we got a fight, see? And this is a fight that's going on all the time.